Blessed are you, Yahweh Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahweh, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Tim had some very interesting instructions in that Torah portion today. And I'm just going to find it. So normally when we think of three strikes, it's three strikes, you're out, okay? Well, I believe that according to Yehovah's Torah, it's three strikes and you're in. So today's parasha, I better pray first, sorry. Let's pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word that you've got for us today, and I just pray that it will be received in the manner that you want it received, and that the people will take out what they want and leave the rest. And we just give you the glory for your provision of this word. And we pray, Abba Father, that we'll just be a light to those who are listening to it, and also help them in their walk with you. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today's parasha reading commenced with the instructions to the appointed judges and officers that were at all the gates of entry into the cities that they were to establish before they went, once they took possession of the land. And I'm going to take that a little bit further, where we can have assurance that we do have a possession in the Holy Land. We read in Devarim or Deuteronomy, Chapter 16, verses 18 to 20. You are to appoint judges and officers for all of your gates in the cities. Yehovah, your Elohim, is giving you. Tribe by tribe, they are to judge the people with righteous judgment. You are not to distort justice or show favoritism. You are not to accept a bribe for... I'm sorry, I can't see that. For a what? God blinds the eye? For a gift blinds the eye of the wise and twists the words of even the upright. The justice, only justice you must pursue so that you will live and inherit the land Yehovah your Elohim is giving you. These instructions then go on to show us through the word the divine principle of justice. Justice had to be established by witnesses, not by a rumour. Justice that involved human life had to be substantiated by more than one witness, at least two, and even maybe three. Preferably three. As we read further down in Devarim, where it says in Devarim 17 and verse 6, the death sentence is to be carried out only if there was a testimony of two or three witnesses. He may not be sentenced to death on the testimony of only one witness. And in Devarim 19:15, one witness alone will not be sufficient to convict a person of any offence or sin of any kind. The matter will be established only if there are two or three witnesses against him. One witness or one strike against a man was not good enough. In the Ketuvah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles, the principle applies even in situations which do not involve capital punishment. As we read from 1 Timothy this afternoon, in 1 Timothy 5:19, it says, never listen to any accusation against the leader unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. This confirms to me that the justice according to the written word is there could be no judgment resulting in condemnation or punishment without two or three witnesses. The principle is also used by Yah in matters of judgment involving justification, which is an exemption from punishment. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, They are to take some of the blood and smear it on two sides and top of the door frame at the entrance to the house in which they eat. Yehovah told Moshe, I want it smeared in three places. One strike was not good enough. Two strikes was not good enough. It had to be one, two, three strikes of the hyssop on the doorposts for the angel to pass over. And then he goes on to tell them what he will do when they have smeared three strikes of blood over the lintels of the doorposts in Shemot 12, verses 12 to 13. He says, "For that night I will pass through the land of Egypt and kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and animals. And I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am Yehovah. The blood will serve you as a sign marking in the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over." That is Pesach in Hebrew. "When I strike the land of Egypt, the death blow will not strike you." So it was three strikes and you're in, not out. In this life or death situation, Yehovah emphasizes his command by repeating it twice. I love the way he sets the example. He doesn't just give us one word about it, he gives us two, sometimes three. He tells us we are to have two or three witnesses, and then repeats himself a second time for the second witness of his word. He does this so often through the scriptures. So in Shemot, Exodus 12, 22 to 23, it says, once again, "Take a bunch of hyssop of leaves and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and smear it on the two sides and top of the door frame. Then none of you is to go out of the door of your house until morning. For Yehovah will pass through to kill the Egyptians, but when he sees the blood on the top and the two sides, Yehovah will pass over the door, and he will not allow the slaughterer to enter your houses and to kill you." So even Yehovah gives us two examples of the same thing. Hyssop was a common plant accessible to anyone in that age. It was an easy instruction to obey, but you still had to obey it. Three strikes and you were in. You needed to have the three smears of hyssop. I wonder what would have been the outcome if someone only put blood on the lintel at the top. Or maybe one strike and you're out. Yah was precise in his instructions. He meant exactly what he said, and he says exactly what he means. I have to admit, I sometimes have difficulty getting that point across in my relation to myself and what I am saying. Often I have to repeat it and repeat it. The thought process could often be, you don't really have to do all that. Just a little blood will be okay. What would have been the fate of someone who put the blood only on two of the doorposts? Two strikes? They'd have been out. Let me assure you, Yah does not play word games in his word. He says exactly what he means, and he means exactly what he says. If I had been living then, I can assure you I would not have taken a chance of being partially obedient, no matter what my neighbour said. Every word of Yehovah is sure. Every word of a parent, a teacher, etc., are not always sure. If someone tells you something contrary to the word of Yehovah, stick to his word. It's his word that is important. The Sabbath is not a Sunday. It might be the seventh day if you're worshipping every Sunday. Every seventh day is a Sunday, but it's not the Sabbath. Sunday in Hebrew is Yom Rishon. Shabbat in Hebrew is Shabbat. You've got Yom Rishon for the first day and it goes through the rest of the weeks as Yom, 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 and then you get to the seventh day, and it says Shabbat. Doesn't say Yom Shabbat, it just says Shabbat. The next day, the eighth day, or the first day of the next week, Yom Rishon again. So when Yah says his word, that's what he means, on the Shabbat, and keep it holy. So keeping every seventh day just doesn't cut it. In Kafer Bet, 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21, it says, "Yes, we have the prophetic word made very certain. You will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark, murky place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, understand this. No prophecy of Scripture is to be interpreted by an individual on his own. For never has a prophecy come as a result of human willing. On the contrary, people moved by the Ruach HaKodesh spoke a message from Elohim." And in 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, "Nevertheless, Elohim's firm foundation stands, stamped with these words, 'Yehovah knows his own, and let everyone who claims he belongs to Yehovah stand apart from wrongdoing.'" Three witnesses were not only necessary for death, but they were also necessary for life, which we learned from the Kedavah HaShelekim today. On the security there is that what comes with obedience to the word of Yah. We can praise him that we are washed clean through the blood of Yeshua, but let me ask you this one question. Why does man need his sin covered by a blood sacrifice anyway? Well, to answer the question, we need to go back even further in history than Exodus, all the way back to Garden Eden, in the Garden of Eden. Here we find three strikes against Adam and Eve, or Hava. In Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it had a pleasing appearance, and that the tree was desirable for making one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." So now listen to what Yeshua says in Luke 3:4, 3-9, and then in verse 12. The adversary says to him, Yeshua, "If you are the son of Elohim, order this stone to become bread." Yeshua answered him, "The Tanakh says, 'Man does not live on bread alone.'" So the adversary took him up, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and said to him, "I will give you the power and the glory. It has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomever I choose. So if you will worship me, it will all be yours." And Yeshua answered him, "The Tanakh says, 'Worship Yehovah your Elohim, and serve him only.'" Then he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you are the son of Elohim, jump from here." And Yeshua answered him and said, "It also says, 'Do not put Yehovah your Elohim to the test.'" So let us compare the pair. If we have a look at both Adam and Hava and Yeshua HaMashiach. Is that slide up there? Does it fit in? Okay. We've got our temptations. We've got where they strike. We've got Adam and Hava, and we've got Yeshua HaMashiach. The first temptation was the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh affects the body. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. She saw with her eyes. That was the lust of the flesh. And then the adversary says to Yeshua HaMashiach, "Order this stone to become bread." The lust of the eyes or the mind, Hava and Adam says, "And it was pleasant to the eyes." And when the adversary had told Yeshua everything that he saw, if you will If you will worship me, it will all become yours. It was already his. But the adversary is trying to convince him that he can give it to him anyway. Then we've got the pride of life, the third witness, the spirit or the ruach that is within us. And Adam and Hava, and a tree, it said, and a tree to be one desired to make one wise. So they thought, well, I'll take this, I'll become wise. And the adversary says, if you are the son of Elohim, jump from here. The adversary or Hasatan's focus is on things of the world. Adam and Hava's things focus were on things of the world. They were of lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. In Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 2, 15 to 17, it says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If someone loves the world, then the love for the Father is not in him. Because all the things of the world, the desires of the old nature, the desires of the eyes, the pretensions of life, are not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does Elohim's will remain forever. There were three strikes against Adam and Hava, and because they failed in every temptation, they were out. Three strikes and they were out of the garden because they succumbed to the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the desires of the body. But Yeshua hit a home run every time. He was totally victorious over the same three temptations. Personal salvation, according to the word, includes three strikes against the old man that is within us, which reverses the curse brought onto us by our disobedience. So let us listen to what Shaul says to the people of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. It says, now, brothers, I must remind you of the good news which I proclaimed to you and which you received and on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved. We are saved by the good news. But what is it? It says, providing you keep fast to the message I proclaim to you. For if you don't, your trust will have been in vain. Among the first things I passed on to you was also what I received, namely this. The Messiah died for our sins. Strike one. In accordance with the Tanakh, it says, he was buried. Strike two. And he was raised on the third day. Strike three. In accordance with what the Tanakh says. If any of these steps were left out, the good news would not be complete and it would be ineffective. Three strikes and you're in. Strike one. Repentance. Repentance happens in the mind. It applies the death of Yeshua to our lives. It strikes back against the lust of the eyes, or the illusion that sin is good. In Galatians 5:24, it says, moreover, those who belong to the Messiah Yeshua have put their old nature to death on the stake along with its passions and desires. I'm not making this up, it's in the word. And in Romans 6, verses 6 to 7, we know that our old self was put to death on the execution stake with him, so that the entire body of our sinful propensities might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For someone who has died has been cleared from sin. Strike two, immersion. Immersion happens in the body and it applies to the burial of Yeshua HaMashiach to our lives. It is immersion that strikes back against the lust of the flesh or the appetites of the flesh. In Romans 6 and verse 4, It says, through immersion into his death, we were buried with him, so that just as through the glory of the Father, the Messiah was raised from the dead, likewise too, we too might have new life. And in Colossians 2:12, it says, you were buried along with him by being immersed, and in union with him you were also raised up along with him by Elohim's faithfulness that worked when he raised Yeshua from the dead. Immersion can be seen as a funeral of the old man, and a funeral isn't over until there is a burial. So we need to repent and we need to be immersed. But we did read at the very beginning of this message that we need two or three witnesses. Yah is faithful, hallelujah, because strike three, we've got the Ruach HaKodesh, hallelujah. The Ruach HaKodesh happens in the Ruach, or the spirit of our being, and it applies the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach to our lives. It strikes back against the pride of life or our tendency of self-rule, the narcissistic nature that likes to raise its ugly head. A believer who is still showing narcissistic tendencies, in my opinion and according to the Word, is not spirit-filled. They are still operating through the flesh. Once again, listen to what the scripture says. In Romans 8, 6-9, having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, but having one's mind controlled by the Ruach is life and shalom, or peace. For the mind controlled by the old nature is hostile to Yehovah, because it does not submit itself to Yehovah's Torah, indeed it cannot. But those who identify with their old nature cannot please, thus those who identify with their old nature cannot please Yehovah. But you do not identify with your old nature, but with the Ruach, provided the Ruach of Elohim is living inside you. For anyone who doesn't have the Ruach of Yeshua HaMashiach doesn't belong to him. Let's move on further. Second witness. Romans 8:16, the Ruach himself bears witness with our own spirits that we are children of Yehovah. I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but I've been giving you two witnesses of the Word to everything I've said so far today. I did that on purpose. We must not take any chances with one or two strikes. It is not me to... It is not to me worth risking my eternity on partial obedience. Three strikes and you're in. In Acts 2:38, which I reference quite often, and I'm sure you all know it by heart by now, says, Kepha answered them, turn from sin, return to Elohim. This is not speaking of any Elohim or God, but return to Yehovah and his Torah. Strike one. Each of you will be immersed. Strike two. And the authority of Yeshua HaMashiach into forgiveness of sins, of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. Strike three. You're in. It's as easy as one, two, three. Three strikes and you're in. It's guaranteed. I've given you enough scripture to guarantee it. Repenting and doing nothing else is not. I've said many times, confession is not enough. Repenting and turning that 180 degree turn in the opposite direction is strike one. There are still two more steps to move on to. Are you sure that you've done the three steps? Three strikes and you're in. Are there any questions? That's all I've got to say today. Any questions? None. Too quiet. We'll move on to the remembrance service.